Good. Let me just share something real quick here as well. Let me ask you a question. What is the most asked question on planet Earth? What is the question that all philosophers have been asking since the history of the world? You know, philosophers, I've read a lot of philosophy in my life, and I find it interesting. I'm probably just weird or a geek. I find it entertaining, but it actually goes nowhere. All philosophy is circular thinking, and at the center of the circle is this one question. The problem with philosophy is we're inside the box, we're inside the matrix, and we are philosophy is like two blind men in a dark room with no light and no exit, talking about a black cat that isn't even there. So, you know, Plato talked about a cave where he talked about the cave dwellers, people sitting in a cave, and they are aware that there's reality outside. They see hints, allegations, implications. They see shadows passing, and they're sure there's life outside the cave, but they don't really know what the life outside the cave looks like. And we're here in this life, what Elon Musk calls a simulation. I think it's a simulation, but I don't think it's a computer simulation. And there isn't a computer. We're here in a world that God created, but this is not the absolute reality. God's eternity, the kingdom of heaven, is absolute reality. And the one question that really all philosophy comes down to, have you guessed it yet? I remember an episode years ago of The Prisoner, the cult TV series in the 60s. And in one of the episodes, they invent a computer. You know, it's about the size of a house back in the 60s. And this computer can do everything. And in the end, the prisoner types in one little question, four symbols, three letters, and a punctuation mark, and it blows the computer up. And they want to know what the question is. Of course, the question is, why? Why? Why are we here on planet Earth? Why? What is our why? Why are we here? Why has God put us here? What is the purpose for our life? And whether you think about that a lot, and I encourage you to think about it, really it's so important that we get the answer to that question. Now, of course, the danger is we fill our life with so many bright, shiny objects. And we fill our life with, you know, gadgets and hobbies and pursuits, ministry, relationships, many, many good things. You say, Graham, what have you got against those things? Nothing particularly. We fill our life. It's like we, you know, Aldous Huxley spoke about Soma in Brave New World, this sort of drug that they just pipe through and keep the people sedated. And the problem is, I mean, social media is often like that. We can live in a sedated way in life. And dealing with the kind of runway issues and never looking at the 40,000 feet questions of life. And I want to tell you why God created you this day. It's really simple. Let me read it. I'm reading it through the book of Revelation. And Revelation 4... let me read from verse 8. It says, the four living creatures having six wings were full of eyes around and within. It's good to see what's around you. It's good to see what's within you. They do not rest day and night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, he who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before he who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever. They cast their crowns before him, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created. Again, real quick thought today. Why do you exist? Why did God create you? I'll tell you. God created you for his pleasure. You were created for fellowship with God. Let me give you five keys that will really help you just unpack the why of heaven. Number one, you were created for fellowship with God. And really nothing in your life works when you're pulled out. Like a fish was created for the sea, a tree was created for the ground. God created us from himself, for himself. You were created for fellowship with God, and you'll never be happy, and nothing will ever really work until you abide in fellowship with him. Selah. Come on, number two, you're created to worship God. I know I've heard people say, oh, you know, isn't God creates people to worship him? Yes, Because worship is intimacy. Worship is fellowship. Worship is your connection with God. It's not like God's going, here, worship me, worship me. But rather, as we worship him, we discover who he is and we discover who we are in him. You were created for worship. Well, Graham, you know, I'm called to be a preacher. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to raise kids. I'm called to start a business. I'm called to be in education and government. Nah, those are just day jobs. Those are just roles. Today I'm preaching and I'm believing that God will save people and heal people and encourage people and do a whole bunch of great things this evening. But that's not my calling. Yeah, my calling is to be a worshiper, to worship God. Come on, number three, this is getting harder and harder. Your why is you have a call to enjoy God. I don't know. It's so funny this, but if we're not enjoying God, why do we think God's enjoying us? Yeah, I remember once years ago praying and it's like 4 a.m. I had this idea that the earlier you got up, the more you suffered, the more God would enjoy it. And I'm like sitting there half asleep, miserable, coffee dribbling down my chins, and I'm joking. But it's sort of like at one stage, I just got honest and said, Lord, I'm so bored here. And suddenly it's like the Lord said to me, you think you're bored? Yeah, if you're not enjoying God, well, God isn't enjoying you. But if you're not enjoying God, the God you're trying to give away to others won't be enjoyable either. Yeah, it's not a marketing strategy, but you were made to find pleasure in God. And for your pleasure, they were created. We were created to give pleasure to God, to receive, again, that relationship of intimacy with him. Come on, number four, you were created with a mission. And it's not legitimate to talk about your mission until you've been in fellowship, been in worship, been enjoying God. Only then, when you abide in the secret place, God will release you into the marketplace, into the mission place. What's your mission? I mean, I'm not gonna tell you because I don't know. But again, your mission's much more about being than doing. Yeah, your mission's much more about who you are than, it's a task God assigned you. Yeah, if I am not who God wants me to be, going where God wants me to go, doing what God wants me to do will never really work. My primary mission is to abide in him and then just wander around the world and be me. And that's yours too. So you're created for a mission. Key number five, you only discover your mission when you're engaging from the heart in all of the above things. Yeah, so I encourage you to look at life through that lens. When I pray all day long today, the prayer of those seraphim, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Why not make your life all about worship today and see what the Lord does with that? Selah. Boom. Thanks for watching, guys. I am going to get on with my day. It is a beautiful Irish day here, which means it's gray and drizzly and pouring with rain. I'm on top of a hill and I was going to film outside and a wind is just howling there, but it feels good. Hey, again, remember, check out that course, that Revelation course. Again, it's on offer, 40% off. Our link should be just below me there. Thanks again to all of our partners. Really love and appreciate you. And I will see you again soon in the plan of the Lord. Bye for now.